settle it down and get them both into a room.
Coming towards the 9 o'clock news. After 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Leo Schlink about what is happening on the court as well at the Australian Open, because there's been some fantastic tennis. Phil, looking forward to talking to Belinda Snell, who retired a final game for Sydney Flames last night. What a career she has had. Tanya will be along with her sports update, and Trent Langscale with all the latest from the tab in sporting odds. It's 9 o'clock. You're listening to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Sarah Warby. The federal government is listing a lung cancer drug on the pharmaceutical benefit scheme, which is expected to save hundreds of Australians nearly $90,000 each year. The drug Tagrisso is about $8,000 per script, but from February will drop to about $40. Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt has told the ABC subsidising these drugs means patients can manage their cancer at home.
Approximately 400 Australian families will save $90,000 a year at an investment of $96 million for the government, but much more importantly than that, it's about giving them hope, it's about giving them treatment, it's about giving them better health and the chance of a long life.
The Nationals have chosen a woman who founded a pregnancy support service to replace Federal MP Andrew Broad, who fell from grace in a sugar daddy scandal. Anne Webster was selected yesterday as the Nationals' candidate for the Victorian seat of Mallee at the next federal election. Dr. Webster was selected from a field of six candidates at a party meeting in Birchip. She's told the ABC, despite the drama surrounding the party, the Nationals are still the right fit for the Mallee.
The National Party, of course, has hurt over this last 12 months, but this is a new day. And I was talking to some of the farmers after the pre-selection, said to me, we feel so excited.
Two officers remain in hospital recovering after being shot while responding to a domestic violence incident in northern New South Wales. An elderly man is believed to have shot the officers before his death at a house on Church Street, Glen Innes, on Friday night. A senior constable was shot in the throat and her sergeant colleague on the side of his face after speaking to the 74-year-old, while a third uninjured female officer also attended the scene. Both injured officers were flown to Gold Coast Hospital, where they remain in recovery. Also in news, residents in the suburb of Bundoora, where international student Aya Massawi was raped and murdered, will pay tribute to the young woman with a peaceful gathering this afternoon. An 18-year-old man has died after the motorcycle he was riding crashed into a bus stop in Adelaide South yesterday. And the Western Australian Premier will visit Japan and South Korea next week. Overseas, US President Donald Trump says it's a disgrace and the American media has lost tremendous credibility. This comes after BuzzFeed posted a story that the American president instructed his personal attorney, Michael Cohen, to lie to the US Congress. BuzzFeed is standing firmly by its reporting, as our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
Unusually, US President Donald Trump very much appreciates the rare statement put out by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. The statement says a report by BuzzFeed is not accurate, but doesn't specify what is not accurate. BuzzFeed's editors remained confident in their reporting, saying as they've reconfirmed their reporting, they've seen no indication of any specific aspect of the story being inaccurate. The story is about the American president directly ordering his personal attorney, Michael Cohen, to lie to the U.S. Congress, which is a crime, suborning perjury and obstruction of justice. With the president calling journalists disgraceful, others are saying it's time to begin an investigation which could lead to impeachment, because Donald Trump is not obeying the oath of office to support and defend the U.S. Constitution. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
This is ANUs. A seven times Grand Slam champion was one of the casualties on day six of the Australian Tennis Open, as Zaire Sports' Paul Walsh reports.
Women's world number one Simona Halep has moved into the final 16 after an impressive straight sets victory over Venus Williams, 6-2, 6-3. Halep, who had a 2-3 head-to-head record with Williams prior to this match, knew what was required to win.
I knew that I have to play similar tennis, fast, quick, and to stay very close to the baseline. So, I think I played smart, aggressive, and also I moved her a lot. So I think that's why I could win.
Aussie wildcard recipients Alex Bolt and Alexi Poprin were both eliminated, with Poprin pushing the number 28 seed Lucas Poole to five sets and showing another glimpse into Australia's future. Others to advance included Garbi Muguruza, Madison Keys, Carolina Pliskova, Novak Djokovic and Bora Koric. Feature match for the Aussie fans today will no doubt be the second match on Rod Laver Arena when Ash Barty takes on the five-time Wimbledon champion Maria Sharapova. This is Paul Walsh at Melbourne Park for Air Sport.
In the Big Bash League, the Melbourne Stars defeated the Melbourne Renegades by 6 wickets. In the WBBL, the Brisbane Heat will now face the Sydney Sixers in the decider. And Perth Glory drew 1-1 with Melbourne City in the A-League. Earlier, Sydney FC celebrated a 1-0 win over Newcastle. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Noir. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Get caught using a mobile phone illegally this long weekend and you'll face double the points. With double demerits in force Friday the 25th till Monday the 28th of January, you can stop it or cop it. In Wetherill Park, the Horsley Drive remains closed at Lily Street due to an earlier accident. Diversions are in place in both directions. Minor delays to the airport, heavy traffic on Marsh Street to the International Terminal right now. The beach run looks clear though, including Cronulla, Bondi and Dee. Right now at Oz Design Furniture, enjoy their January price drop. Ends January 31. See ozdesignfurniture.com.au now for store locations or shop online. T's and C's apply. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Hunter's Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio is your best way to reflect on all the summer feature racing. Ron Duffercy and Jean Lester analyse all the action, plus take your calls. Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio, Monday morning from 9.
The new Inglis Race Day at Warwick Farm on February 9, featuring the $2 million Inglis Millennium for 2-year-olds and the $1 million Inglis Sprint for 3-year-olds, followed by the opening night of the classic yearling sale at Riverside Stables, Chase the Riches of the Inglis Race Series.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Welcome back, and with Ray and Phil, let's have a look at the Sydney forecast for today, Ray. Mostly cloudy, with a top temperature of 25, a minimum temperature of 21 degrees Celsius, wind at 16 kilometres per hour. So let's have a look with you, Ray. The current temperature for Annandale and the forecast for Armidale.
Yeah, much cooler, isn't it? Annandale currently just 23 degrees, heading for a potential top of 27. Up at Armidale, where they're racing today, currently it's just 18 degrees. Forecast top temperature of 28 degrees, potential for a shower or two. They need the rain up there.
Where does Jonathan bowl and where does Carey get the towards a super over? Has it cleared the boundary? The Heater in the final! What a catch!
Space there, delivers it in front. Alex Force, and it's an own goal scored by Nigel Bogard.
Wisely done, I must say. Amanda Spratt stayed out of that sprint, but she has won the Santos Tour Down Under, and she's won it for a third year in succession.
They were down 15 to the breakers, and now they are up 9. Todd Blanchard with the throwdown, make it 27 points.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Last hour with Phil Moss joining me on a Sunday. Jimmy having a rare Sunday off. Plenty to talk about in this last hour. We'll go to Leo Schlink shortly to talk about all things at the Australian Open on and off the court. Plenty of news out of this tournament. Tanya with a sports update. Belinda Snell is our legend of the game. She retired from the Sydney Flames last night. What this lady hasn't achieved in basketball. She is an extraordinary sports person. Phil Moss will give us his update on all things football. Trent Langscale with Tab's latest odds. And, of course, our talk topic today is about sporting feuds inspired by what's happened at the Australian Open between Tomic and Hewitt. It's just been extraordinary stuff. And the other big sports story, of course, over the last few days has been the sacking of Alan Stachic out of nowhere yesterday by FFA, with the Matildas just months away from the World Cup. Phil Moss will be hearing a lot more about this, I think.
We certainly will, Ray. It was a bombshell yesterday that no one in the game outside of the four walls of the FFA boardroom really knew too much about, or certainly kept to themselves. So it's taken us all by surprise, and we're only 5 months or so out from the World Cup in France. And I think the thing is that's really hit home is that Alan Stadjic has, under his reign, taken the Matildas to the number one ticket item in town when the Matildas play here. He's taken them to fourth spot in the world rankings last year, I think it was, 2017, sorry. They're sitting at 16th, at sixth now. They're going into this World Cup in 2019.
And they can win it, can't they?
As a contender.
They really are,
for the first time in Australian football history. So it's a big, big call. The actual reasons for it are murky. They're ambiguous at best. So look, watch this space. There's going to be more to come out of this
and,
for sure.
And I'm reading this wrong, Phil, but what happened yesterday is only the lack of transparency, if I can use that expression, as to why Stachic has lost his job, is just going to breed this innuendo, this rumour, this discussion. There's got to be more transparency about this, because we've mentioned it earlier, on performance alone, he can't have lost his job on performance.
No, that's right. And, I mean, look, don't get me wrong, the Matildas' performances and results have dropped a little bit in the last 6 months, but that's because they're at such a height. The bar had been raised so high, and the players now are playing, some of them are playing 60 games a calendar year now, because they're going from competition to competition. They're going from the W League to the American League, and playing for the national team as well. So the whole landscape of women's football has changed, and that takes getting used to. Let's not forget, women's football hasn't been professional until recently.
Yeah.
So there's still that transition period of going from part-timers to full-timers, and Alan Stadjic has managed that transitional period so well from the outside looking in, but there's always two sides to every story. We just don't know what they are.
You just hope this doesn't impact the Matildas going into the World Cup, because, as you said, they're a definite contender. Our talk topic is sporting feud. This one's Morning Ray and Phil, the feud that needs deeper discussion and national conversation at a higher level is Peter Vlanis versus Amanda Elliott. It is totally engrossing and impacts many at wide levels. Ray, don't sit on the fence here. You know Peter has the high ground. The Vicks abandoned New South Wales re corporate bookmakers. Peter held leadership and industry has flourished. I await your comments, as do many. Michael from Canberra. Well, I can't add to that, because Michael's just nailed it. He's 100% right. Yeah. So plenty more though there, Phil. Ian Chappell and Ian Botham. That's a good one from Yankee.
Yeah, that's right. Michael Clark and Shane Watson from Yankee as well. Yankee's active this morning.
Yeah, I know.
Fantastic.
Well.
But there are so many feuds. But again, as I said earlier, Ray, how many of these feuds have been beaten up by the media that actually maybe aren't as bad as what
exactly.
we
well,
what
I'll tell
we
you what, though, this Tomic versus Hewitt feud hasn't been beaten up.
No.
It has just been staggering. And our good friend Leo Schlenk's been online. He's been right at the forefront of this. And I dare say, despite his tremendous career over journalism, this probably takes the cake, what he's watched between Tomic and Hewitt this week at the Australian Open. Leo, good morning. And probably an impossible question to answer, Leo, but what's your take on this Tomic-Hewitt feud?
Morning, Ray. Morning. I think it's now irreparable. There's no way back. But plenty of things have happened in sport. Who would have thought that, speaking of feuds, that Yvonne Lendl and John McEnroe would be on speaking terms ever? They get along pretty well these days, but they're out of the heat of battle. These two are in their relative careers. They're right in the middle of it, and Bernie's 26, he's in the middle of his playing days, and Leighton's only 3 years into his Davis Cup captaincy and still playing. But this has its origins going a few years back now, Ray, and it's not going to be easily solved. I know that Nick Kyrgios has made great headway in the past couple of days with Leighton and addressing issues that needed to be talked about. So maybe there's a way forward for Bernie. At the moment, it looks impossible, though.
Leo, one of the things we've been talking about this morning is how it was allowed to get to this stage without being resolved before, because for it to take away from what's been a magnificent Australian Open, and it is our biggest week in our tennis calendar in Australia domestically, how's it been allowed to get to this stage?
I guess the basic answer, Phil, is these guys are owner-operators. not so much in Leighton's case because he's answerable to Tennis Australia, and I think that's why he took some time to consider his response, and then he just laid it out there. This has been simmering for a while, and once these guys get established and they've got enough money to be independent and they no longer have the support of the National Federation, they are completely at their will and freedom to say whatever they want and do whatever they want within the laws of the land, of course. So unlike past eras where if someone upset Harry Hopman, that was it, done. The Federation backed Harry to the hilt and the player would suffer. These days, it's a totally different ball game. These guys are private operators, and that's the way it runs. Once they don't rely upon support from the Federation, they're on their own.
Now, it's been engrossing to watch. In some respects, Leo, it's probably taken away a little bit from the tennis, which has been fantastic to watch, I've got to say. And look, I know Ash Barty is our last singles hope. She's got a massive game against Maria Sharapova later today. We'll talk about that shortly. But in the men's draw, some positive signs for the future. The three Alexes, Alex Bolt, Alex de Minaur and Alexei Popperin, who I thought was great last night, they gave a glimpse potentially of Australian tennis's future in the men's side.
Yeah, spot on, Ray. And the great thing about these kids is they all come from different backgrounds. Alexei Popperin, he was born in Sydney. His parents came out from Russia. They moved to Dubai for business when Alexei was about seven, I think. He went up to Turkey to play in a clay court event and was absolutely thrashed. He thought he was a good tennis player. He got on the clay, had no idea what he was doing. So his family decided, with the business side of things as well, that they would move to Spain, where he had access to clay courts and he learned to play. And, you know, 2 years ago when he won the French Open juniors, he joined a very select group of Australians to have ever won that. Phil Dent was one. He made a Grand Slam final. But the other three, Roy Emerson, Ken Rosewell and John Newcombe, they're the only other Australians to have won the French Open. So that tells you how good this kid is. He wasn't considered developed enough to have a wild card given to him for the Australian Open last year because his hard court game was said to be lacking and deficiencies there. He's been working at Patrick Mouratoglou's academy. He's the coach of Serena Williams in Nice. And you've seen the headways made. Mm. What he did last night was just a glimpse of how good this kid is. He's another Del Potro. He is that good, and he's got a temperament to go with it. We know Alex de Minaur's story, similar stories, Spain, Australia, access to clay courts, it's the making of them. And Alex Bolt, one of the great old Australian lake developers. Mm. And the thing with him, with Bolty, and the other two lads, is that they are super fit. And this is the lesson for maybe what now shapes as potentially a lost generation of players, the ones ahead of them, who sometimes, you know, in the case of Tanasi Kokkinakis, he hasn't had the chance to work as hard as he would have wanted because of injury.
Exactly, yeah. In terms of Kyrgios and Tomic, I think that lost generation fitness-wise is so important. Ash Barty, she's been playing terrific tennis, pulled out of the doubles yesterday with a potential little tear of the abdominal strain. How bad is that? Because she's coming up against Maria Sharapova, who's turned the clock back here, Leo, so far.
Yeah, she's been amazing, Sharapova. She had that tough match against Wozniacki that could have gone either way. Wozniacki had big leads in the first two sets. She had a year last year that was indifferent, Maria, but these courts are suiting her. They're fast, but the balls are a little bit negative, or neutral, I should say. This is a match that, you know, Ash needs to be at full fitness to win. It's going to be the same thing. This is going to be a massive battle of the forehand, and it's going to depend on how well Ash serves. If she has a hip flexor problem or an abs strain or tear, she's going to find it hard to extend, and that could be compromising. The fact she's put out of doubles, she loves using doubles to prepare herself. She'd rather play a doubles match than go and train. That's just the way she is. And look, she's done an unbelievable job this summer. It's just really unfortunate. Let's hope that she would have done everything right to get ready for this match. Let's hope she can get through it with a win.
It's interesting your take on Ash Barty, because one thing I have noticed about her, she's a lot fitter than she's ever been. She's always been a great athlete, but she looks super fit at the moment, and the results are showing on court, Leo.
Yeah, that's right. Ray. Craig Fizer, her coach, one of the most brilliant coaches on the world stage, and he does a lot of work with her and Ash's team. And super fit, and we know that she's got the hand eye. She's an incredible athlete. She, you know, she picked up a cricket bat, and she was almost picked for Australia. She's that good. She can do anything. She kicks a pretty mean football as well. anything she picks up, she can do. So now it's taken a couple of years, and this is the thing with, like, Nick's had his injuries as well, and Bernie's had hip surgery. To be fair to the both of them, they've had their issues. But you need that consistent run of it. And Roger Federer remarked only a couple of weeks ago in Perth, he's had one injury in his career until last year. He had a bit of a wrist problem, but before that was the knee. But the knee required surgery, the wrist he managed. But one injury in his entire career because of the way he's been managed. And Ash Barty, if she has a decent run at it, she can win a Grand Slam.
And what shape football are you talking about there, Leo? Is it the oval shape one or the round
one? Yes, the oval one. I'm sure she's pretty good too, also with the round one. basically, anything she does, she is so talented, Ash Barty. And she is someone that we know a lot of people high up in the tennis world, very good tennis intellect, who will say anything is possible for her if she stays fit, and we just want that to happen.
Yeah, that's right. Interestingly, going into this summer, I read a story on her where she said that having all her wisdom teeth out in the off-season had really mentally steeled her for what was ahead. So, Leo, I want to ask you about the Australian Open more in general terms. With the whole Tomic Hewitt thing put to the side, we're always looking to improve things year on year. Is there a point of difference to this year's Australian Open that you've noticed?
From the player facilities, look, this tournament does things that the other three can't do simply because of the space that has been made available to it by the Victorian government. That whole footprint that runs basically now from Fed Square almost down to the border of Richmond, it's just a huge complex. And the player pod at the Australian Open is new world. It's just unbelievable. And yesterday there were 93,000 people went through the gate, which is a record. There's no other Grand Slam in the world that can fit comfortably 93,000 people there. So that's that engagement. It now needs to go into, it's getting there. I can see more and more kids around the courts, you know, off-season, if you like. But the point of difference to the others is just the fact we play in the middle of our summer. The others play in the spring in Paris, and it's summertime in Europe. But as you know from personal experience, Ray, you don't always get a lot of heat there, but this event has gone to another level. It is not so long ago that it was the poor cousin. It just keeps on developing, puts the players first, and I think the fan can relate to that. And what we're seeing right now, that because this event is so big, it is pushing Australian development, and that's what they've set out to do.
I think the players also relate to that too, Leo. They love this tournament. Hey, Leo, last Sunday you tipped Serena Williams to win the women's and Novak Djokovic to win the men's. After week one of the tournament, we're going to week two saying today, is there anything to change your mind?
No, there's not. Denis Shapovalov might have changed it briefly yesterday when he played that blind
Novak,
third set. Yeah.
Yeah,
which is a huge result. And then back to reality, 6-love in the fourth set. Serena just looks totally dominant. She's got Simona Halep next round. Simona put out Venus, who had an arm injury. And Simona overcame her own issues in the previous match against Kenin when she was down 2-4 in the third set. That's going to be a cracking match, that one. That could be a final anywhere else, the world number one against the seven-time champion. Nothing to change my mind at this stage, Ray.
Fair enough. Hey, Leo, always terrific to talk to you, re any matter tennis. Hope we can talk to you next Sunday. Appreciate your time on the Sunday morning, Leo, and we'll talk next week.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks, Leo.
Thanks, Leo.
It's 9:23 on Sunday morning. Listen to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Tamworth is abuzz right now, and horse racing is joining in the festivities. It's the annual Racing New South Wales Showcase meeting, with the maiden carrying $40,000 in prize money. Tamworth tips from 10, Thursday morning on Sky Sports Radio.
It's a new millennium for racing at Warwick Farm on English Millennium Day, Saturday, February 9. Be trackside for Sydney's first million-dollar race day of 2019. Headlined by the $2 million English Millennium for two-year-olds, the $1 million English Sprint and Group 2 Breeders Classic. An exciting day of racing, hospitality and free children's entertainment. Advance tickets from $12. Book now at theraces.com.au.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their their website at www.wideline.com.au.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Ash Barty, the last Aussie left in the singles draw at the Australian Tennis Open. She'll take on Maria Sharapova for a spot in the quarterfinals later today. Last night, Alexei Popperin, trailing 2-0 and down 4-0 in the third, fought back to take the match to 5 sets against Frenchman Lucas Pouille. He went down 6-3 in the third. And Alexander Zverev took too good for another young Aussie, Alex Bolt, in the third round match, the German winning in straight sets. Also last night, Simona Halep defeated Venus Williams in straight sets to set up a fourth round blockbuster against Serena Williams. An own goal by Newcastle skipper Nigel Bugard in the 44th minute was the difference on the scoreboard, with the Jets going down to Sydney FC 1-0 in the A-League match at Cogra. A nil-all draw between Melbourne City and Perth at Amy Park. Today, Victory host Wellington and the Central Coast will play Brisbane. Sydney suffered its biggest loss of the season, going down to Adelaide by 20 points in the NBL match in Sydney, 119-99, led by American forward Jacob Wiley's 21 points. The 36ers had 6 players in double figures, with the Kings just managing 18 rebounds for the whole game. Last night, Brisbane 98 beat Cairns 68. BBL last night, and in the local derby, the Melbourne Stars beat the Melbourne Renegades with 4 balls to spare and 6 wickets in hand. Meanwhile, an incredible all-round performance from Elise Perry helping send the Sydney Sixers into the WBBL final, defeating the Melbourne Renegades in an epic super over at Drummoyne Oval. Their opponents will be Brisbane Heat after they had a sensational win as well, defeating Sydney Thunder with a catch on the last ball. That final back at Drummoyne on Australia Day. And under strength, Australia beat arch rivals New Zealand at the Quad Series netball tournament in London overnight, 53-50, to set up the decider tomorrow morning against England. Fill-in captain Caitlin Thwaites starred, shooting 31 of her 32 shots, and Gretel Tippett came into the game in the second half to shoot 12 from 12. Liverpool extended its lead atop the EPL table after a hard-fought 4-3 win over Crystal Palace at Anfield overnight. Mo Salah scored twice for the Reds. In the other results, that's coming up very soon with Phil. And third round of the Desert Classic Golf in California this morning. Aussie Curtis Luck, he's just 5 off the lead in a tie for 11th. Phil Mickelson and Adam Hadwin lead at 20 under, boys.
Thanks, Tan. Well, as Tan mentioned, we'll go to football now. Phil and Sydney FC needed an own goal to win against the Jets, but a vital 3 points because Perth were held to a 0-0 draw by Melbourne City.
Yeah, that's right. A fantastic ball from Brandon O'Neill into the Newcastle, into the heart of the Newcastle penalty area that Nigel Bogart got his toe on to send it into his own net, but Alex Brosk was
right
lurking.
There, wasn't he?
He was lurking large. He wanted another goal, but didn't get the final touch, but it was enough to get Steve Corica's team over the line. Massive 3 points for them, as you said, with Perth dropping a couple as well. But, yeah, look, interesting week in the A-League as well. You had the Mariners get their first win.
You'd have loved that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, look, it was good. And who else but Matty Simon? You know, Captain Courageous. He went back there after his stint at Sydney FC. And, look, he's been a driving force for the Mariners in what's been a disastrous season so far, breaking all the
penalty,
records. He took the penalty and scored the tap-in from the rebound. But, yeah, look, great to see Mariners fans leaving Gosford Stadium with a smile on their face for the first time.
Now, they play the Roar later on today, and also Melbourne Victory, an important game against Wellington Phoenix.
Yeah, it really is. And you remember Wellington went to Melbourne Victory and got a draw just before Christmas. Yeah. So, they're certainly not to be taken lightly. They're having a wonderful season under Mark Rudin. And Melbourne Victory, you know, they dusted Brisbane Roar up there in Brisbane last week. But, without Cascade Honda, every team that comes up against them, you know, believes they're a chance. And they are. They've certainly lost the absolute quality that Honda brings. Toivonen's been outstanding. Antonis, Troisi have all played their part. But their point of difference was just that quality that Honda bought in the big moment. So, yet to see him take the park again after that strange hamstring injury that he copped.
Mm. Is it season over for the Wanderers, mate, losing 2-1 against Adelaide?
Look, it's going to be hard to rebound from here. I mean, if you look at Adelaide in sixth place on 22 points. The Wanderers are on 9 points.
Yeah. Can't score goals, can they?
No. And it's been a disappointing season from Oriol Riera, who is a quality player, but just hasn't found the back of the net consistently enough after scoring 15 goals last campaign for them. Bonavasia scored a good free kick the other night, but again, it's you can just see the frustration in Marcus Babbel every time he's asked about his team. He just feels like he hasn't got his team, feels like he hasn't got enough quality there. There's been talk of, you know, a fair bit of movement in the January transfer window. Well, we're nearly at the end of that, and we haven't seen a lot, so be interesting to see how he brings the season home. But they certainly have to at least finish this season with pride chasing sixth spot.
Just on the Asian Cup before we go to the EPL, Tuesday morning, or early Tuesday morning, Australia play Uzbekistan. This is a tough game.
It really is. And what I like about the Socceroos is the way they've built into this tournament. There was a lot of uproar over that first loss to Jordan. But the ensuing games, Palestine and Syria, I think we've built nicely into those games. And I think that's got us battle-hardened for the round of 16, which is important. If you breeze through your group, you can get into that knockout phase with a bit of a false sense of security. And I think the Socceroos have got that out of their system after that last-up friendly against Oman where they won 5-0. Maybe there was a little bit of complacency that crept into the players' minds going to that first game. But they've built nicely. Uzbekistan will not be easy. I know we've got a 6-0 result in the locker against them in the past, but that's in the past.
Different team, yeah.
It matters for nothing on Tuesday morning. And Graham Arnold and his staff, Rene Molenstein, will have the players ready to go in this one. There's no doubt. I think Matt Leckie has a chance of coming back into the squad, which would be a massive in.
Yeah,
massive
big in. Yeah. EPL overnight, Liverpool 4-3. They're a man down for a fair bit of the second half, and Man U 2-1 against Brighton. It's six on the bounce.
That's right. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he'll get the keys to Old Trafford before he knows it if he keeps going like this.
Have you got the job next season yet?
I don't think so. It's still till the end of this season at this stage, but certainly there's no better job interview than sitting in the chair and getting results. Yeah. But 27 goals in 8 games overnight, that's an average of more than 3 goals a game, but aided and abetted by the 4-3 win to Wolves over Leicester and the 4-3 win of Liverpool over Crystal Palace. But what a game that was. Mo Salah with 2, Firmino, Mane, but Andros Townsend, Tompkins and Max Meyer scored in the 95th minute to just make it a nervous last couple of seconds. But after that Milner red card that you mentioned. But Manchester United, as you said, Pogba from the penalty spot, hasn't he come to life since the exit of Jose Mourinho? Which
it was always going to happen, wasn't it?
Shouldn't be too much of a surprise, that's right. But I just think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's man management style is to put his arm around people, and people like Pogba need that.
Yeah.
The question is, when results go the other way or a performance goes the other way, has he got the other side team that can kick players up the backside? But Pogba and Rashford hit the target for him, 6 from 6 for Ollie, and on they march. Arsenal with the other big result, 2-0 over Chelsea. Exactly. Lacazette and Koscielny scored first half goals in that one.
Liverpool open up a 7-point lead, but Manchester City play tonight against Huddersfield, who are deep in relegation zone.
Yeah, not good there. And the manager, David Wagner, moved on last week. Both he and the club apparently mutual agreement. And Fulham and Spurs. And Spurs certainly looking to bounce back from that loss to Manchester United.
Terrific. Hey, thanks for that, Phil. It's 9:33 on Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. But we'll come back shortly with Belinda Snell.
Hunter's Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio is your best way to reflect on all the summer feature racing. Ron Duffercy and Dean Lester analyse all the action, plus take your calls. Hunter's Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio, Monday morning from 9.
English graduates dominated the spring three-year-old classics. Extra Brute in the Derby.
He's strong. He wins the Derby. Extra Brute from Stafford.
Aristia in the Oaks. Sun in the Guineas. Where will the smart buyers be in 2019? English.com.au.
The very best of US racing 7 days a week. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
join the conversation and follow the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Twitter at Big Sports Wend. That's Big Sports WEND.
Given their first win at Olympic level over Australia, she can't. Time for Australia and a miracle. Belinda Snell from three-quarter court.
She gave up the match winner. Belinda Snell has hit from behind the halfway line to snatch an incredible victory.
And welcome back to the show. That's that famous three-pointer she shot right on the buzzer in the 2012 London Olympics. And as I mentioned earlier, Phil, Tanya and I went to the Kings game last Sunday and tribute was paid to Belinda for her phenomenal career. And up on the big screen, they list her record of achievements. And I dare say there'd be very few, if any, Australian sports people of any code who have a record of achievement like Belinda Snell. It's an extraordinary record. She played her very last game of basketball last night for the Sydney Flames. Unfortunately, they lost, but it does not tarnish an extraordinary career. She's our legend for this Sunday morning, and she's been good enough to join us live from Townsville after the loss. Belinda, good morning, and well, firstly, congratulations on a phenomenal career, but I guess not the send-off you would have hoped for last night.
Good morning. Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, we went down to Townsville against Susie Bakovic, who finished off her WNBL career, a legend of the WNBL, and I was fortunate enough to share the court with her one last time last night, but unfortunately she got the better of us.
Yeah. Yeah, funnily enough, Belinda, I was going to bring up Susie because you played in a team, if we wind the clock way, way, way back to 1998-99, you won a premiership with the AIS with players like Susie, Penny Taylor, Lauren Jackson. Mm-hmm. Over your career, who would be your pick as the best Australian player?
It's a tough one. I've played with so many, fantastic players. Lauren Jackson, of course, has dominated all over the world, and so many WNBA MVPs and championships, and just been an amazing athlete. And she would have to be the best. But Susie as well, Penny Taylor, the World Championships in 2006 that we won, she got MVP of the tournament and was an absolute superstar. I was fortunate enough to win a championship with her in Phoenix as well. And Christy Harawa, probably the best point guard going around, was fortunate enough to play with her as well. So there's probably three or four that I could mention, but Lauren has been unbelievable for women's basketball all around the world.
Yeah, it's been a golden generation for Australian women's basketball. Belinda, can I take you right back to the start? Where did the love of this sport come from?
I grew up in country Victoria, and my older brothers were playing basketball, and I just couldn't wait till I was old enough to play, and I would compete with them in the front yard and try and beat them. And once I was old enough to play, I started playing at Mervyn North in the local gymnasium. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Started playing in a mixed competition. I was also playing netball and tennis. But basketball was what I loved, and just I went to the junior national championships and just enjoyed it so much, and just the competitiveness and the camaraderie, and it's a great team sport, and I've been able to travel the world doing something I love for the past, way too many years. But I've had a blast along the way, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Mirbu North, and I hope I've pronounced that correctly. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Close enough, probably, Phil.
Mirbu North.
Mirbu North. So that's your hometown. But it took you, the game took you to places. You played in Australia, USA, Italy, France, Russia, Spain, Poland. It's a world tour. are there any of those experiences that really stand out as something very, very different to what you expected?
I think the 7 months in Moscow, that was a very challenging and difficult one, in like minus 20 degrees temperatures. It's something that I was not used to, and it was a great experience. I had my own driver over there, Sergey. Couldn't really communicate well with him, but it was an amazing experience. And traveling in the EuroLeague as well, all around Europe. So we'd play on the weekend. You'd play in Russia, and then during the week you'd travel all through Europe to play EuroLeague games.
And we talked about those experiences and the countries that you played, and you had 14 moves in about a 20-year career, give or take. So you obviously love new experiences, but you had success everywhere you went. Were all those moves because of your need to experience new things, or was it always that you were chased by other clubs because of the success that you bought?
Yeah, I had three seasons with Phoenix Mercury, and then I was chased by San Antonio, so moved on to there and played two seasons with San Antonio. But there was a few years there where I was just going back to back, and I probably only had 2 weeks rest throughout the year. I would go from Europe, because Europe is 7 months of the season, and then onto the USA to the WNBA, and that was another 4 months. I think I did that for maybe 4-5 years, just non-stop. I don't know how my body's got through it all, but amazing experiences. I started in Europe in Italy and just played in the Italian league, so I was fortunate enough to just play one game a week, and then had plenty of time to sightsee over there, and then was picked up by a EuroLeague team in France and went on over to France and played well in the Final Four in the EuroLeague there. So I got picked up by the Dynamo Moscow and went up to Russia. And then I suppose got picked onto another team in EuroLeague with Valencia in Spain, and loved my experience there. And we made the Final Four again, and then was lucky enough to win a EuroLeague. I got drafted onto Salamanca, the opposing team, where when I was playing for Valencia, the actual Salamancan fans actually are very passionate, and we needed security and that kind of thing, leaving games. And, told off in Spanish. and then the next season I ended up playing for Salamanca, and they loved me. And, we were lucky enough to win a EuroLeague championship. I was playing with one of the best Brazilian basketballers and just some amazing Spanish players as well. And that was an amazing experience winning the EuroLeague. We won in Russia, the finals were. So it was a lot of fun along the way.
The sport's taking you around the world. As Phil said, success everywhere. And that success also came back to the national team as well, which you've been an integral part of for nearly two decades, Belinda. And just going through this record, Phil, it's extraordinary. Silver medal, Olympic Games in Athens in 2004, Beijing in 2008, the bronze in 2012, FIBA World Cup in 2006, gold medal for Australia and Brazil, a bronze in Turkey in 2014, two Commonwealth Games gold medals as well. 2006 and last year in the Gold Coast. As I said, it's been a golden generation for women's basketball in Australia, Belinda, and the Olympics in particular. So close a couple of times, Athens and Beijing, but so far.
Oh, I know, the USA. Mm. Athens, we couldn't quite get there. An amazing experience, my first Olympics, and I had my parents, my town in Murbinor, managed to fundraise to get them over to Athens to support me over there, and that was incredible that it was their first time travelling overseas, and just amazing to have them over there supporting me in my first Olympics. And Beijing, probably the most devastating for me. We were competing with the USA in the final, and unfortunately we went to a zone, and then one of their gun players come on and hit a lot of three-pointers, Carl Lawson, and unfortunately they won that one. I'm just so grateful that I've played with such amazing athletes, and it's couldn't have done it without all those girls,
fantastic.
The family.
Okay, well, I have to ask you, Belinda, how often do you get asked about that buzzer beater in London? It's an extraordinary vision.
Heard many stories because I think it was 2 a.m. back here in Australia when it happened, and I've heard people have thrown remotes and knocked out their wives, just like in celebration. Yeah. So, it's a moment I'll never forget. It was unbelievable. To a packed house in London Olympics, it was incredible. And to watch the footage, I still can't believe it, really. Yeah.
Do you practice that at all, Belinda? Because I know it was a Hail Mary, but you would have been aware you had virtually no time left. You had to really have a shot. Do you practice that sort of Hail Mary type three-pointer?
Usually at the end of our shoot-around sessions, so our morning sessions before games, at the end of the session, most teams that I've played with, we always have a half-court shot. Just put some money in and have a half-court shot at the end of training. And I suppose, yeah, all that kind of practice with that, maybe. Yeah, I was fortunate enough that one went down.
Yeah, what a fantastic moment personally in your career, even though you unfortunately lost the game. But
exactly.
Don't worry about that now, Phil.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep replaying the three-pointer.
Who cares about the result?
Exactly.
But if I can ask you, Belinda, the next step for you from what I read is coaching, and you spent this, 2018, coaching the Sydney Uni Sparks. It's a double-edged question. The first one is, did you learn the languages of the countries that you played in? Because that could take you anywhere with coaching.
I have picked up a bit of Italian and Spanish. I wouldn't say I'm comfortable confident enough to speak it fluently. I've been learning a little bit of Spanish, French, Italian, but I probably would need a translator if I was to coach anywhere over there.
But luckily for us, the word win is a universal language.
That's it.
But seriously, that's where you're heading into coaching?
Yeah, I've at Sydney University been studying education and specifically sports coaching there as well. So I'm finishing that up and, hoping to get involved in coaching. I'll take probably a month off, have a rest and recuperate, and then see what eventuates after that. But I hope to get into coaching somewhere along the way down the track.
Belinda, just finally, what about the pathways for women's basketball now? I guess when you were starting out, a player of your talent really had to go overseas, but the sport's so professional now. How is Australian women's basketball?
The league at the moment, this season's been one of the strongest I've been involved in. And, it's just exciting. We've got WNBA players coming here to play in Australia now. And so many Opals players are back playing, and they will be next season in the lead-up to Tokyo Olympics as well. So it's and getting more and more WNBA players out here. The league's so strong, and I'm looking forward to watching the final. The final series, which begins next Friday, Canberra take on Perth in Canberra, and then Melbourne and Adelaide will find out on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to watching that. It'll be such a high intensity, and they're just playing so well, and they're too fast for me now.
I'm going to throw just one more question in, Belinda, just to finish it off. A young girl picks up a basketball for the first time, a very young girl. What would your advice be to them?
I'll go out and enjoy it. Just, get out there, practice as often as possible and just enjoy it and make as many friends along the way.
Belinda, I think you've made many friends, many admirers, because it's been, as I said earlier, an extraordinary record of achievement in the sport. And it's not finished yet. You've now got coaching to go to, and maybe you might be able to coach someone to break your WNBL record of 54 points in a game, Belinda, which has stood for how long now, 2005?
Yeah, a long while now. Yeah, we'll see. Don't know how that happened. But, it was one of those games where you just, everything was going right.
Yeah, well, I think your career's gone right for 20-odd years. Belinda, it's been an absolute honour to have you on the show this morning. Congratulations on an outstanding career, and all the best for the next phase, the coaching phase. Thanks so much, Belinda.
Thank you for having me.
Good on you, Belinda.
Now, that is an Australian sporting legend, Phil.
Absolutely. I mean, we didn't even speak about Hall of Fames or anything like that, but she...
She'll walk up starting,
oh,
she?
Absolutely.
Like she has won championships in Europe, European League, twice in Spain, France, in America, three-time in Australia, WNBL All-Star five times, and as I said, those records for Australia in the Olympics and the Commonwealth Games is outstanding. She is an absolute phenomenon, and an honour to have her on the show this morning. Unfortunately, she lost a final game.
Yes, but that, as you said, will not be her legacy to basketball, and certainly won't be judged on that. That's incredible, and it was very inspiring to speak to someone like that, because it's not someone, Belinda wouldn't be someone who transcends her Australian sports, but within her sport, that is unbelievable. And across all codes in Australia, that is an incredible record.
Exactly, and very humble. It's 9:48 on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
racing tips, cricket, tennis, A-League, and international sport. TK and Laurie Daly return to the Big Sports Breakfast Monday morning from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
Hey, guys. Look, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I'm leaving the flat. You're like family to me, and if I could stay here longer, believe me, I would, man. I know it's sudden, but I cannot miss my bus.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
Dynamic Syndications and Gay Waterhouse offer affordable racehorse ownership. Here's Gay.
Dynamic Syndications are my primary syndicators and I love training for their owners. They buy top quality, sound, athletic and beautiful pedigreed horses. I will be training for them at my Randwick and Flemington stables.
We invite you to join our Dynamic Gay Waterhouse team. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Join the conversation and follow the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Twitter at Big Sports Wend. That's Big Sports WEND.
Yeah. It's lofted. It has gone over the fence and Perry's done it. The Sixers have clutched victory from the jaws of defeat.
And just before we go to Trent with all latest odds on the chair, but this has come in, no name on this morning, boys, Ray, with the Queen Elizabeth this year and the possibility of Winks running for the last time. Where online would you buy tickets or package deals if available? If you go onto the Australian Turf Club website, you can start purchasing tickets for the Autumn Carnival now. That's the April 13 race, Phil, where potentially will be Winks's final race. And that won't be a great racing moment. That'll be a great moment in Australian sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're the things that just make sport such a magical part of our lives.
It'll be phenomenal. Hopefully she wins that big award in London this week too. I wonder what odds Trent will be betting about Winks winning the world's best racehorse award in London. I'll put him on the spot here. Trent, good morning. And does our girl win in London on Wednesday night?
Good morning to you, Ray, and to Mossy as well. I would certainly hope so, Ray. We wouldn't be allowed to bet on it, but you would. Yeah, I mean, it's Winks. Of course she's going to be able to get the job done there. And just on the back of that promotion for the Women's Big Bash after those great semi-finals yesterday, there is a market available right now for the final where the Sydney Sixers are $1.58 and the Brisbane Heat $2.40. But even seeing Winks' trial last week, Ray, just whet the appetite for what will be her first up run in the Apollo Stakes.
Yeah, February 16, can't wait. The great mare back in good order. Hey, Trent, round four of the Australian Open begins today. Some huge matches, mostly Australian interest with Ash Barty. This is a blockbuster potentially against a resurgent Maria Sharapova.
It promises to be a beauty, Ray. It'll be the second match at Rod Laver Arena, not before 12:30. And Ash Barty, well, $1.70 favourite against Maria Sharapova at $2.15. And that's notwithstanding Sharapova beating Wozniacki a couple of days ago. The first match at Rod Laver Arena from 11 o'clock will have Petra Kvitova, $1.55 against Amanda Anisimova at $2.45. Then you have Barty against Sharapova. Following that, Ray, we've got Rafa Nadal, $1.15, and Thomas Berdych, $5.50. And then we get to tonight.
We're watching one of the all-time greats. Yeah. She can't appreciate that. So.
Roger Federer, $1.15 against Stefanos Tsitsipas at $5.50. Following that, Sloane Stephens, $1.55 against Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova at $2.45. They're the matches at Rod Laver Arena. There's a couple at Margaret Court Arena and also on an outside court. Just for the men's winner, Djokovic is $1.80, Federer at $5 and Nadal $5.50. While for the women's winner, it's a lot more tighter, but Serena Williams has looked great so far. She's a $3 favourite. Angelique Kerber at $6, Naomi Osaka at $10. And if you fancy Ash Barty, she is a $15 hope.
Now, you touched on the Big Bash in your opener, but it continues tonight at the SCG. You've got some other odds for us?
That's right, Mossy. An important game tonight. Apart from the Hobart Hurricanes, all the sides are pretty much still in finals contention. 7:15 start at the SCG, where the Sydney Sixers are $2.15 and the Brisbane Heat $1.70. There's also the Sixers high bet, Daniel Hughes, the $4 favourite. While for the Heat, High Bat, no surprise, Chris Lynn heads the market at three. And a reminder, the first test at the Gabba, a day-nighter. Hopefully the lights stay on for the day-night test. Starting Thursday, 2 o'clock our time, Australia are $1.22 against Sri Lanka at $8 and the draw at $8.50.
And round 14 of the A-League continues tonight, or finishes tonight, I should say, Trent. Couple of games, Melbourne Victory in Wellington, Central Coast and Brisbane.
Yeah, you've had a chat about them during the morning. 5 o'clock start at Amy Park, where Melbourne Victory are $1.80 against Wellington. And then in Gosford, Central Coast against Brisbane. Couple of the cellar dwellers, Central Coast at $2.60, the draw at $3.80, and Brisbane at $2.45. EPL, two matches overnight. Early in the morning, Manchester City $1.14 away to Huddersfield Town, and Tottenham are $1.68 away to Fulham. Lots of other sport, guys. NBL today, Brad Rosen's been talking about it. Perth and Melbourne United $1.90 each of two. Tip off at 3 o'clock. And also the NFL Conference Championship games from 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Going to be an unproductive morning, I'll be honest, fellas. Watching the games, the New Orleans Saints are $1.58. The Los Angeles Rams $2.40. That's the NFC Championship game. In the AFC Championship game, the Kansas City Chiefs $1.55. And the New England Patriots $2.45. We'll know who's going to be in Super Bowl 53 about 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Check out all those markets and plenty more at tab.com.au.
What's your tip, Trent? Saints and Chiefs?
I'll be going for the home teams, Ray, but I'll say with notice that I, with Quinny, tipped the Saints at the start of the season. So we've been riding them, and hopefully they can get to the Super Bowl, and then we can play around perhaps and get a profit on both teams.
Good on you, Trent. Well, enjoy the tennis. Enjoy the Super Bowl tomorrow as well, mate. Thanks for joining us as always, Trent.
Thanks, fellas.
There you go, mate.
I'll tell you what, there's some value in that Central Coast getting over the top of Brisbane Roar, I think.
Okay. $2.60,
the Mariners paying to get the win.
Confidence-boosting win the other day, the Mariners.
It was, and things aren't good up at Brisbane. Ross Aloisi left the club the other day. The assistant coach followed his brother John out. So I think the Mariners are good good value at $2.60, right?
Exactly. Sporting feuds on the back of Tomic and Hewitt, what they've done at the Australian Open. Morning, boys. This is from Manly Manow. Chitaka in the starting gate. And for Mossy, Rangers versus Celtic. It's not life or death. It's more serious than that. It certainly is. We've got Flash on the line. Flash, good morning.
Good morning, man.
Morning.
A feud is Ian Chappell and Ian Botham.
Yeah, a couple of people have mentioned that. Are they still at war even today?
I think they're still at it. And a big shout out to the Australian Open. We've had so much good press. Surely we could just take the oxygen away from the... and not print in the mass media the negative stories from the he said, she said job.
Mm. Unfortunately, Flash, though, when they come out almost every day with a press conference and make another accusation, the journalists are duty-bound to report that. And unfortunately, as we mentioned earlier, Mossy, get Tennis Australia, get these two guys in behind closed doors and keep it.
If you've got the back four pages of good news, you know. But a big shout-out to Serena. Mm-hmm. For her contribution to recycling. Her snug fitted Chervo, Matt Sheridan's green outfit. I think that's really special.
I don't know. What's your take on that, Mossy? I don't know.
I don't think it's appropriate for me to go there.
Okay. Maybe we'll ask Kath her take on it. Kath, good morning.
Yes, good morning, boys. Love your show.
Thanks, Kath.
Morning,
Kath. But you've got a sporting feud for us, Kath?
Yes. Mark Gaze and Russell England. Was it Bathurst? I'm not sure.
They came to blows, didn't they? Push and shove?
Yeah. Well, and punch, threatened to punch, and, nearly was on between them. So, and also, Mossy, I just want to congratulate you on losing the quiz. Great, your year.
You reckon?
Hey, hang on, Kath. That's Jimmy's quiz, not mine.
You know what's going to happen next Sunday, don't you, Kath? He'll be like a bear with a sore head for 3 hours.
He will.
Hey, look, thanks for your call, Kath. That's terrific.
My pleasure.
Good on you, Kath.
What's your plans today, Mossy?
Today, I've got a barbecue this afternoon at a friend's place with my partner, Penny. Nice, relaxing day up until then.
Watch the tennis?
Yes. Well, we'll have the TV on for sure in the background. Fox Sports will be front and centre.
Who wins our BSB cap and the Cartner wingman for our best contributor?
Oh, Ray, there's been so many.
Does Cap win?
Yes. Why not?
But you know what? I'm going to give it to Kath off the back of paying me out for Jimmy.
There you go.
So she's just handed the quiz to me, even though I'm just off the subs bench today.
Exactly. Can you imagine Jimmy next
season? Well done, Kath.
Congratulations, Kath. And congratulations and thanks for all our SMSs and phone calls. We've had plenty of them. It's been one of those sport topics, I suppose. We probably had it before, but when you see something like the Hewitt Tomic thing, which I've seen nothing like it ever. We've even had people... recall DK Lilly and Javed Miendead. I think it was a whacker test by memory. I'm sure Tom will correct me if I'm wrong. When DK went to, Lilly went to kick Javed, didn't kick him. Javed went to hurl the bat at him. The umpire got in between.
That's
extraordinary
right.
Scenes in a gentleman's game, Phil.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Coming up on Racing HQ, it is Cowra Cup Day. Preview with Mick Wallace, and Mick Wallace also looks at Armidale. BSB is back tomorrow morning at 5:30. Phil, I hope you've enjoyed it. We managed to get through the 3 hours.
I've loved every minute of it, Ray. I can't believe how quickly 3 hours goes when you're having fun.
It flash, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So who goes first, me or you?